They're saying goodbye. The Farewell Symphony, just two violins left after everyone packed up and left the stage. Symphony No. 45 by Haydn with the Austro-Hungarian Haydn Orchestra.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and we appreciate you tuning in to us today here at 89.3 FM. Beautiful classical programming is just a part of the exciting presentations we like to share with our listeners. If you would like to learn more about some of our talk shows, let me give you some insight as to what we're offering right now. Every Friday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m., it's the new WHFR Journal. Your host, Jay Koronick, brings you up to speed and fills you in on happenings and local interesting issues as they relate to our Dearborn and surrounding communities. That's Friday afternoons at 1 here on WHFR. And it's our Saturday morning forum talk show. It's actually a series of shows that are alternating week to week, Friday mornings 10 until 11 a.m. Shows like Pet Lover's Lane, Metaphysically Speaking, We Are Not Alone, and so much more. Great, interesting, and eclectic talk right here on WHFR. And you won't want to miss it.
Morning. This is WHFR Dearborn, and you are listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and as the name of the show implies, for the next hour, we will be speaking about all things metaphysical. And today, my special guest is Colleen Lema, and she is a spiritual consultant. She's based in Lansing, and she does many different types of modalities. However, today we are going to talk to her about crystals, because she is a certified crystallogist. So with that in mind, I would just like to say good morning, Colleen. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm very well. Thank you. And how are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there, I guess. So far, so good.
Wonderful.
Now, I'm just curious, how did you get started with crystals?
Well, it started back when I actually moved to the Lansing, Michigan area. I was back in 1994, and I was kind of on a spiritual quest or spiritual search, so to speak, and as I was searching, I was introduced to many different metaphysical modalities, as you say, the first one being numerology. Actually, one thing just led to another as far as learning different types of things in the spiritual and metaphysical field, and eventually I was led to the study of crystals. And even if I want to go back further, in life, when I was growing up, you know, I always was enthralled and interested with collecting stones. I lived in the UP up of Lake Superior, and I would often just walk the beach, walk along, and pick up stones and pick up rocks. And I just thought they were, you know, very pretty and interesting as a little child. And I remember, you know, keeping them in a little collection and whatnot. And that's interesting, since later on it led me to studying crystals and their metaphysical properties and how to use them more in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm. Little did you know as a child that that's what would happen, huh?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's interesting what we're interested in as a young person, and as we get older in life, it leads us to something that, you know, at the time we were unaware of.
Mm-hmm. Now, it says you're certified as a crystallogist. How did you get certified?
Well, some people out there that study different metaphysical or spiritual topics may be aware of an author called Melody, who channeled information and wrote a book called Love is in the Earth. A lot of people in the metaphysical field will look at Love is in the Earth by Melody as sort of their crystal Bible, so to speak. If they, you know, use crystals at all or are drawn to crystals, they look at that book as one of the leading books to utilize in different types of crystal healing. So as I was led to kind of self-study that on my own, eventually a person from the Melody Teachings was in the Lansing area where I now reside, and she was going to be teaching a set of workshops to certify people in the use and the proper use of crystals and how to use them in your healing practice. So I took those classes and got my certification.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you use crystals to help people?
Well, in my practice, I do a lot of different types of energy healing. One of those is Reiki energy healing, and I often will use crystals with the person as I'm doing that energy work. I will use them on their chakras. Some of your listeners may be aware of the different chakras that we have and what the chakras do for us as far as how they balance us or what the different qualities of each chakra is. And just like the chakras have different qualities, so do the crystals. And each crystal has a little bit of a different type of energy. So in utilizing them, you have to know the proper use of crystals. You can't just randomly give them to a person or place them on a person. It really depends on where that person's at, what they're going through. Some people may deal with anxiety issues, others with depression issues, and those are just a couple of examples. And, you know, you would want to use different crystals for different life experiences or for different challenges or health issues, so to speak. So I lay them on the person's chakras, or I have them hold on to different crystals as they're laying on the Reiki table, or I might place them underneath the Reiki table or underneath the pillow. It's just, it all depends on the individual and what they're going through, basically.
Mm-hmm. So you really feel that this helps people?
Well, absolutely. It's interesting when you utilize the crystals or have them hold crystals, and they may not even be aware of the different properties or, what the crystals are capable of. And once they're done with the healing session, they get off that table and they notice a definite difference in their energy and in their peace of mind, their state of being. And again, depending on where they're at, you might have somebody coming in with anxiety issues and, give them particular crystals, and at the end of that session, they're going to be a lot more calmer and balanced and peaceful, where someone else who might come in and they're dealing with depression or chronic fatigue syndrome, they don't have any energy, and you give them a different set of crystals to utilize during that energy session. Once that session is done, they'll feel more energized, more happy, more joyful, and actually able to face life with a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. And just for our listeners, can you run down the different chakra centers for us, please?
Certainly. We start with the base chakra, which is at the base of the tailbone. That's usually seen as the color red, and it's a very grounding chakra. It's where we deal with our issues of survival. The second chakra is called the sacral chakra, and that would be a couple of inches below your belly button region. That would be seen as the color orange, and that's where we deal with creative or sexual issues in our life. Going up, we would deal with the solar plexus chakra, which is the third chakra, which is located a couple of inches above the belly button at the solar plexus. That's seen as the color yellow, and that would be where our self-empowerment is, our sense of power within ourselves. Going up to the heart chakra, the fourth chakra, that would be seen as the color green, and that's where we deal with all of our emotional issues, relationship issues, things of the heart. Moving up, we would go to the throat chakra, which is the fifth chakra, and of course that's at the throat center. That would be seen as more of a turquoise-colored blue, and that's where we deal with our issues of communication, speaking our truth, and speaking our truth with compassion. Moving up to the sixth chakra, which would be the third eye chakra, that's right in the center of your forehead between your eyes. And that's seen as an indigo blue color. This is where we deal with more of our intuitive and psychic perceptions like clairvoyance. And then moving up to the seventh chakra, we call that the crown chakra. and that would be seen as more of an amethyst color or purple color. That would be just above the crown of our head, and that's where we deal with our connectedness to spirit, God, goddess, or the universe, however you want to look at that higher power.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did they, whoever they are, arrive at the fact that you use certain colors on certain different chakras?
Well, that's a good question. All of this metaphysical information, crystals and chakras, and you can go on and say numerology, astrology, and all the other sciences. These are very ancient, old sciences. I mean, they go back for thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, back to times of the Druids and the Egyptians and the Essenes, and even back further. And I don't know if you've ever talked on your show about those ancient civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria, but all of these healing or intuitive psychic modalities go back, way back, to those ancient times and civilizations. How they came up with the colors for the chakras, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that's the way they're clairvoyantly seen, those that actually can see, not with their physical eyes, but with their third eye, and they can see auras and colors. That's the way these chakras are seen. You know, people have auras of colors around them, but also the chakra centers, which I just mentioned, are seen as those particular colors. And that's because of the vibration of those chakras. The base chakra vibrates the slowest and is seen as the red, whereas when you move up in the energy level, or you move up in the vibration level of these chakras until you reach that crown chakra, which, since that is our connectedness to the all that is, or the universe, that is where that chakra is vibrating at a higher rate and a higher frequency. It's sort of likened to the colors of the rainbow. When you see a rainbow out there, those colors are refracted light, and red vibrates the slowest, and purple, amethyst, vibrates the highest as far as how we see that rainbow.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And my special guest this month is Colleen Lema, and she is a spiritual consultant. Right now, we're talking about crystals. Now, if somebody comes to you and they say that they're feeling sluggish, they're describing certain physical symptoms, do you realize what the problem is, and then you know which crystals to use for that particular person?
Yes, I go through, I won't say a really extensive interview process, but I do go through an interview process, and my clients do fill out intake forms before we just have them get on the Reiki table to do any kind of energy work. I sit down and almost have a counseling session with them to try to understand what is going on with them, all the aspects of what they're going through. And this can go back even to looking at childhood issues, growing up in the parental home, you know, what kind of things went on with that, and even sometimes going and looking back at past life issues. And, you know, as far as doing that, I do astrology as well, so often when I do any kind of healing work, I'm making an astrological birth chart of that person so I can look at that and see where their soul's coming from, what kind of energy they come in with, and looking specifically in that respect at their house of health, you know, in the astrology chart, and I can get a good sense of any of the health issues as well as the mental and emotional health issues that they may be facing in this particular lifetime, you know, their soul issues, their karmic issues from past lives. So I kind of look at all of this, and along with the intake form that they fill out, and we go through that step by step, and I let Spirit give me information as we're talking, the client and I, to understand fully, you know, what is going to be the best course of action, and in this case, the best use of crystals for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you take everybody back through a past life regression to help you?
No, not in that instance, although I am a certified hypnotherapist, and I do a lot of past life regression when I utilize my hypnotherapy modality. But when somebody comes to me for crystal healing that's usually used in conjunction with the Reiki energy healing. And not everyone is taken through past life regression when they're doing Reiki and crystal healing, although they might have a spontaneous memory while they're on the table as I'm doing the energy work. If someone's very in tune and has some intuitive gifts themselves, it's definitely quite possible that they will have their own kind of past life experience as they're going through the healing session.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you use crystals on yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I'm holding a crystal right now as I'm talking to you.
Really? And what's that doing for you right now?
Well, the particular crystal I have in my hand is called labradorite, and labradorite is called an otherworldly stone. It helps to connect with otherworldly beings for higher information and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Now, aren't there certain stones that people can carry around with them that give off a certain vibration that may help them? I don't know, maybe they're having a certain problem that's a consistent problem. Mm-hmm. If there's a certain stone they can carry around, does that help them get through the day perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. I often will suggest that to my clients before they leave. There's some, you know, particular stones that may be helpful for particular purposes. And for instance, one of the best stones I think to carry around is citrine. And citrine is usually a yellow or a golden yellow colored stone. Sometimes or oftentimes it has white infused in it as well. And citrine is good for anyone because it's a clearing stone. It's one of the very few amount of crystals that we have that never collects negative energy and holds on to it, whereas a lot of other crystals and stones, when you're using them for healing, they have to be cleansed constantly afterwards or recharged or re-energized. But with the stone citrine, it's a self-cleansing stone, so a person can carry that around with them throughout the day. And what it's going to do is it's going to cleanse their energy constantly, cleanse the environment around them. It's going to cleanse that energy constantly, and it's going to self-cleanse itself once it picks up that negative energy or those negative vibrations. It's going to transmute it and let it go so that that citrine is always in a cleansed state and never retaining any of the negative energy that it's picking up and transmuting. Citrine is also great for prosperity and abundance, which is another reason why people like to carry that
yes,
one around.
That's very important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you put a piece of citrine in your, it says your cash box or a place where you might have, you know, money stashed away, it's supposed to help to bring that prosperity and abundance to you. And one of the other great things about citrine is because of that golden yellow color to it, it's very much a self-empowerment stone, and it brings a lot of joy and lightness to a person.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I take a citrine stone in when I buy a lottery ticket, will that help?
Oh, it certainly could.
Yeah, you never know, right? And it's worth a chance, right?
Yeah, somebody's got to win.
That's right. Might as well live dangerously and take a chance.
That's right.
Now, what do you carry around with you? Do you carry something on a daily basis yourself?
Well, I have a lot of pendants that I wear around my neck, or, you know, you'll find a lot of bracelets, rings, earrings, and pendants as a woman to have those particular stones in. And you know, in any particular day, like let's say I'm going to my job that's not, you know, totally of the spiritual nature. As I'm going to that job, I might think, oh, you know, there's a particular thing that's going to be happening today or a particular person that's going to be at work today that maybe isn't of the highest vibration, or I know they might be going through some personal issues of their own, so they're at a lower state and may have a tendency maybe to throw out negative energies or negative thought forms, as we all do at times. So I might, you know, decide to wear a citrine pendant around my neck, or amethyst might be another one that I might wear because it's a higher vibrating stone and it keeps us at a place of peace and calm and spiritualness. So it just depends on my day. It depends on my mood as to what I'm going to wear or carry. Oftentimes I will carry something in my pocket throughout the day. You can even, at nighttime, you can put certain stones under your pillow to bring certain vibrations to you throughout the time that you're sleeping and or dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely can, you know, utilize stones throughout your day in that way.
Right. So that does work on a person overnight, and I guess really, does that help permeate a person's body by just putting it under your pillow all night?
Absolutely. One of the best stones to do overnight with is an amethyst again, since that amethyst is that purple in color and resonates to the crown chakra. It really helps to connect you with the God source throughout the night, which actually can make your dreams and your insights through your dreams a lot more powerful.
Mm-hmm. So that does make a difference then.
Oh, sure. It certainly can. You might find that, and make sure your stones are cleansed before you put them under your pillow.
Right.
But once you have cleansed stones under your pillow, you might find that your dream time is a lot more profound.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you clean these stones? How do you, I guess, take away the negative vibrations that they may have received and stored?
Well, there's a few different ways you could do that, and it depends on the type of stone. Some people like to use sea salt. You could actually just take a bowl of dry sea salt, and you could just stick your crystals in there for a while. Other people like to use sea salt and water. The thing about sea salt is that it's very coarse and abrasive. So if you have a nice polished stone, which oftentimes when we go to a metaphysical store and we buy our crystals and stones, a lot of times they're buffed and polished, so that mm-hmm. makes them nice and smooth and shiny. If you utilize sea salt then, especially sea salt and water, to cleanse your stones, that polishedness will go away and your stones might end up looking dull. So another good way to cleanse your stones, if you don't want to take that chance, is to actually just run them under very cold tap water and simply set them in a windowsill in the sunlight for 24 to 48 hours. That's a good way to cleanse them. Another good way to cleanse them is that citrine stone that we talked about earlier, since it never collects or retains negative energy, and it actually helps to dissipate negative energy. You can place a citrine stone with any of your other crystals or stones, again, for 24 to 48 hours, preferably in the sunlight, and that will help to cleanse them as well.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Colleen Lemma, and she is a spiritual consultant, and right now we're talking about crystals. Now, if a crystal does become dull, is it less effective?
No, not at all. You can buy a crystal or a stone that is not buffed or polished, and actually in its raw form like that, some people believe that it has more of its vibration or more of its power, if you will. Some people in the metaphysical field believe that once it's cut and buffed and polished, that it may lose some of its energy or power. So that's, you know, a personal choice as to how you want it to look or how you want to buy your stones, but certainly not when it's dull or in its raw form. It's just as powerful, if not more so.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in a bad mood or you're not really feeling quite right, if you put on certain stones, does that really make a difference? Does your attitude improve?
I believe it does. It's something that maybe people should experiment with, but it's my belief that certainly it's going to cause an effect. If I'm feeling depressed or down or in a low energy state, I might put on a clear quartz crystal. Clear quartz crystal, which is, that type of crystal that, you know, we use in our watch batteries or in clocks. But the clear quartz crystal helps to raise the energy vibration of anything that's around you. So let's say you put a clear quartz crystal with a citrine crystal, and part of what citrine does is bring more joy and happiness and sunniness to your life. Well, if you put that clear quartz crystal with the citrine, it's going to amplify the energy of the citrine even more and make it even more powerful. Now, you want to be careful with the clear quartz crystal. If you're depressed and just put that on by itself, it could amplify your depression. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, using it in a way that it's going to amplify good things. You know, if you're in a, let's say you're in a happy mode already and you just put on the clear quartz crystal by itself, it should amplify those happy, joyful feelings. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're anxious or depressed or something, you'll want to then couple that with a different stone, a stone that's going to help specifically with that anxiety or depression before just wearing the clear quartz by itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a client comes to you and you discuss a situation with them and you are guided to use certain crystals, do you find that even though they do help, that if they really need some type of specialized help, maybe they really need to see a doctor, do you suggest that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I do refer people out. I have other people that, you know, they might be a naturopathic doctor, they might be a social worker, they might be a chiropractor. You know, I have, I network a lot, so I know a lot of people in the Lansing area, and if I don't know specifically somebody that can help with their particular issue to refer them to, I probably know somebody to refer them to that could refer them to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to do that, because anybody who's out there in the metaphysical field, anybody that does any particular type of modality or modalities, you know, we don't know everything. We can't do everything necessarily. So we do have to have those other people or organizations or circumstances that we can refer our clients to best assist them.
Mm-hmm. So it's very important to network, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, if a person comes to you and perhaps it's not working and you try something else, does that usually take care of it? I mean, maybe it's not right on at first, but maybe they have multiple problems. Do you do multiple things with crystals in each session, or do you break it down? Maybe you work with one crystal during one session, another crystal during another session. How does that work?
Well, that's a good question, and that is really an individual thing. You really have to assess where the individual is at and how much energy from the crystals they can utilize at any one time. If someone is in a really delicate state, and as you said, they're dealing with multiple issues, then you definitely might want to focus in or zero in on one of those issues first. You don't want to overwhelm them. Even though you would think that covering all your bases and healing all of their issues or challenges at one time might be a good thing, it might actually just be overwhelming to them and to their soul, too much at once to handle. So it's definitely on an individual basis. You know, somebody else might come in and you can tell their soul is more strong. They've been through a lot of things in their life, but you can tell that they deal with some of those issues or challenges rather well, whereas someone else may not deal with that, you know, as well. So, you know, you might be able to then cover a lot of a client's different health challenges or issues by utilizing a lot of different crystals in a lot of different ways for them. So it just depends on the person and the situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, can this just be a one-shot deal, so to speak, or does it help for a person to do it on a regular basis to come to you and get mm-hmm. healed with crystals?
Well, you know, definitely coming in for more than one session may be appropriate. Again, it's surprising. Each and every time, you just really never know. And I usually, in that intake process, that interview process, that counseling process that I go through, you do, you know, let the person know, depending on what they're coming in for, that it may take more than one session to bring this back into balance and to release whatever it is they need to release.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that ahead of time. So, yes, you may have to set it up to where the person comes in one, two, three, four times, or more than once, I should say, to heal or balance or correct a particular issue. Other times it's surprising. You do a session, and the person, you know, doesn't need to come back. I remember doing a session with somebody who had anxiety, and they were on one or two different anxiety meds, and I did one session with them, and they were able to go off their anxiety medication and, you know, never have to go back on it as far as I know.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it depends on the soul and the strength of the soul and their resolve, you know, how much they're really connected to wanting to help themselves and whether the timing is right. You know, everything is universal timing. And when the time is right, things will happen. And if the time isn't right, you know, if there's still some soul lessons for them to learn or still some karma for them to balance out, then they may not have a total healing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine some people probably just come back on a regular basis because it just makes them feel good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, some people come in just for a relaxation session, you know, come in for a relaxation and rebalancing. And they might do that, you know, on a monthly basis, just like you'd go and get a massage maybe on a monthly basis just to help you to relax and recenter.
Mm-hmm. Now, crystals help you with physical as well as emotional problems?
Yep, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Crystals cover all the bases.
Mm-hmm. And by placing it on certain parts of the body, it just resonates in that one area, or does it go throughout the whole body?
It depends, again, on the crystal or the stone. It can. Some of the certain darker stones that we have, like the black and the brown stones, some of those might be obsidian or black tourmaline, tiger's eye. You know, those are grounding stones. You could use those at the base chakra. But if there's other parts of the person's physical or energetic field that need grounding, it could certainly resonate throughout the rest of their body or energy field to assist with that.
Mm-hmm. It just depends on the situation then and the person involved.
Absolutely.
Now, do you usually use this in conjunction with Reiki?
Oh, yes, I do. Definitely Reiki is one of those modalities that I do utilize, and I often tell people I don't do straight Reiki, and what I mean when I say that is because I do these other types of healing modalities like the crystals, like some of the things I learned in the hypnotherapy, like past life regression, and just how spirit guides me. I might do a lot of other things that I'm guided to do along with the Reiki or the crystals. So, you know, every session is different. It just depends. Sometimes I'll just do straight Reiki. Sometimes I will utilize drumming. You know, I have drums and rattles.
Okay. So you have a jam session, do you?
Yeah, okay. A little bit. You know, so it just depends on what I'm guided to do and what the person needs.
Mm-hmm. And what do the drums do for a person?
Sometimes drumming or rattling can break up energy patterns. It can break up stagnant energy that may be in one of the chakras. It also can help to seal in after a session some of the energy. So just like any other healing modality, it can be used in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long does a session usually last?
Well, a session can last anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm going for about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So, again, you let spirit guide you, and you put in the correct amount of time that you feel that this person needs at that time.
Yes, with everything I do, I don't tend to be a clock watcher. Mm-hmm. I go with how, you know, whenever it needs to be done, it's done.
Right.
Although, I charge certain amounts for certain different healing modalities. I usually don't charge above and beyond that if I go over, because I figure that's not the person's issue. You know, if I say that a crystal healing with the Reiki is going to be an hour long and this is how much it is for an hour, if I go an hour and a half, it's like, well, that's on me, you
mm-hmm.
know. If the person wants to give a love offering above and beyond the charge, then that's up to them.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a tip?
Yeah, that's like
okay.
a tip.
Okay. A spiritual tip, right?
That's right.
Now, when you're working on a person, does anybody really get so agitated perhaps that you can't finish a session? Does that ever happen?
I've never had a person get agitated to the point of not being able to finish the session, but I will say that people can have an emotional release, and usually that emotional release, you know, they might start just sobbing on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, for example, a person that comes in and they've dealt with a lot of relationship issues, and not just intimate relationship, but some of them, like with their parents or with their children. And they've dealt with so many issues, but they've held it in. You know, they haven't had that. They haven't grieved properly or released the emotions properly. And sometimes when you're doing the healing and you're placing crystals over the heart chakra, that tends to sometimes allow that person to have that emotional release. They may start sobbing for a few minutes on the table. Or in contrast to that, maybe they're storing a lot of frustration or aggression or anger. And in that way, they may get agitated, but usually they're conscious enough to know that their agitation isn't with the healing work that's being done per se, but that it's a result of the healing work. And they know that it's these frustrating feelings, you know, are wanting to be released rather than feeling that it's a result of what I'm doing. So I've never had anybody, you know, get up and say, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to finish this and leave. That's mm-hmm. not happened.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And the name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Colleen Lemma, and she is a spiritual consultant. And we're talking about a lot of different stuff. However, right now we are concentrating on crystals. Something I want to know is that, has anything ever really surprised you by somebody's reaction after a session or during a session, something you didn't totally expect at all?
Not really, Mike, and I'll tell you why I say that is because I've witnessed and experienced a lot of different things in my life, even before I moved to Lansing and specifically got into metaphysics or started focusing on what my spiritual path was. Even in my earlier years growing up, I've had a lot of different experiences, I'll say, in my life. And actually, nothing really surprises me anymore. So I'm pretty calm and centered when it comes to whatever may occur during a session or as a result of a session. I'm usually, you know, quite understanding and not very surprised by anything.
Mm-hmm. So if someone does start sobbing, you're able to deal with that?
Oh, sure. Before I actually started studying metaphysics, I was what maybe you might call a social worker. I worked in the counseling field for 6 to 7 years in different modalities of like sexual abuse, sexual assault, incest, domestic violence. So yeah, I guess I was quite, you know, prepared as far as the counseling aspect to deal with crisis situations.
Mm-hmm. So you are used to dealing with negative emotions from people?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Have you always felt you've been a spiritual person, that this really is your life calling to work with metaphysical type things?
I do definitely feel that way. There was always a part of me that even when I was a child, I felt different. There may be others, especially metaphysical people out there, we use the term light workers. There's a lot of light workers out there who will relate to this. Is when they were growing up, they felt different, like they didn't fit in with their peers necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
They may have felt older than they were and almost more comfortable around adults than they were of children their own age. So I always felt different in that way. And as far as feeling spiritual, I grew up under Catholicism. I was Catholic in my upbringing. But I always felt, especially as I got to my teen years and my early 20s, that, you know, Catholicism just wasn't right for me. And I'm not saying it's not right for anybody, because everybody has free will and free choice. Excuse me. And I really believe that all religions and all paths go back to just the one creator and the one God anyway. So even though, you know, it wasn't right for me, I do understand, people's choice in that matter. So when I was, again, in my early 20s and not feeling that where I was in that particular religion was right for me, I just started a spiritual search. And before I moved to Lansing, I was a lot more limited in searching that out. You know, I grew up in a more conservative town, a very small population, not very open-minded. There wasn't a lot of opportunity to understand or get information on the more metaphysical side of life until I moved to Lansing and everything just kind of came together. It was definitely divinely guided and divinely timed, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever tried to make you feel guilty for some of the things that you practice?
I don't know if I would say they try to make me feel guilty, but I will say that the rest of my family, although I'm some hours away from them now, they are still very Catholic in their belief systems. And it's more difficult for me to talk about what I do with them. So usually I don't too much. It's not that I try to hide it. I do not try to hide it from anyone because it's really just who I am, and I'm not ashamed in the least bit for it. But I do understand other people's different belief systems. So when I, you know, encounter some of these people that may have a different belief system, and again, in regards to my family, I don't try to preach or, you know, or shove anything down anybody's throat. I just allow people to be who they are. So in that way, I just kind of, I don't know if I want to say censor, but I'm just more cautious about what I share and how I share it with some people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, you hit a very important point in that if you try to shove it down somebody's throat, they're just going to resent it more and, I guess, turn you out, you know, turn you off. They don't want to hear anything you have to say. So I guess you do have to use kid gloves in certain situations. You don't want to beat somebody over the head with your ideas, but you also want to express them if they are open to those ideas, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, what it all comes down to is being non-judgmental and accepting of all forms of belief systems and all forms of people. You know, that's really what we all should do, is just be unconditionally loving and accepting and show compassion and love and peace to people. That's what we're all here for. You know, if you think about it, and I don't mean to get overly deep or off topic here, but, you know, we are all a part of one God, one creator, one universe, however you want to look at that higher energy out there. We're all a part of that one. And so that means we're all a part of each other. And if we come to the understanding that we're all a part of each other and we're all from the same family, then we would treat each other how we would want to be treated, which is with that love and respect.
Right. Well, it just gets down to treating others as you would like to be treated, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is one of the problems. I mean, we are on the same path, so to speak, and we're all trying to reach a common goal, I guess, world peace, world love, whatever you want to call it. But that is very important. And what was it about the Lansing area that just, I don't know, you seemed connected to that area? Was that it?
You know, it was a very, like as I said, divinely guided set of circumstances that led me to move from the UP, where I'm from, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan here, down to Lansing, which is in the center of the state down here for those listeners that may be out of state or in another country. But when I moved to Lansing, for a very short time thereafter, I was introduced to people in the metaphysical field. And as I said, that was about the time period that I was really on a spiritual search for whatever my path was, because Catholicism didn't fit for me. And almost immediately from being introduced to the metaphysical community, it was like a feeling of coming home. It was like a feeling of acceptance and non-judgment that I had been searching for or seeking. So from then on, I just started taking classes, you know, numerology, astrology, crystals, Reiki, hypnotherapy, you know, one by one, just gaining as much information as I could to understand exactly who I was, where I came from, and what my path was.
Mm-hmm. Well, listening to you, I know that it seems that many of these modalities tie in together, so they all are interconnected. Is that correct?
Definitely. When you look at say, numerology. You know, it's a study of numbers and a person's birth date and the name vibration that they come in with. When you understand the energetic aspects of that, and then you, say, add astrology or learn about astrology, you'll find that those two sciences are very closely interwoven and work very well with each other. When you think about people that do psychic readings, they have different tools that they use. One person might use tarot, one might use crystal ball, another one might use rune stones. Again, those are all just different aspects or different ways or different tools to get the same information. So it is with crystals. You know, crystals work in a particular way with energy vibration. Essential oils, which I also utilize, use a specific energy vibration. So, you know, when you think about it, yes, all these different modalities, tools in the metaphysical spiritual field all work in conjunction with one another to attain the same goal, you know, which partly is peace of mind, balance, unconditional love of self, understanding our place in the universe, and understanding that we are all a part of the same spiritual family.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you work with the client, you just let spirit guide you so that intuitively you know perhaps the drumming might work with this person as opposed to something else?
That's correct. I don't always use the same things in each session. You know, I'll have all my tools, so to speak, close by, and then I'll just allow spirit to tell me what to use and how to use it each time.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you meditate each day and let spirit guide you on what it is you're supposed to do?
Well, I guess I would be lying if I said I did. I try to do that, definitely, Mike, because I believe that meditation is a way of staying centered and staying in our soul self or in our state of higher soul being or higher self. But, you know, I'm sure your listeners know that with daily activities of life and home and family and jobs and everything else, that it doesn't always seem possible to take out that time to meditate each and every day, although that is my goal. And especially before I do any kind of healing session or astrological session or anything spiritual, I do then take out the time to make sure that I meditate and I'm centered before I'm doing any kind of spiritual work.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to get ready to prepare yourself to work with a client?
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm doing, say, an astrological session, it takes me more time because there's charts to print out and charts to look at and aspects to understand of that person's energetic blueprint, so to speak. Whereas if I'm doing, say, a Reiki crystal healing, it doesn't take as much preparation except for going through that intake process, which I only go through the first time, by the way. You know, if a person is a repeat client, you don't have to go through that each and every time. But, you know, Reiki and crystal healing, doing that kind of healing doesn't take to me as much preparation except for doing your meditation beforehand. Because with that, you're just going more on the guidance of your guides or spirit as far as what needs to be done. Whereas things like numerology and astrology take more of a that logical, analytical kind of perspective where you're having to study numbers and symbols and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And you have to interpret those numbers and symbols?
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm.
So obviously, the more you work with someone, the easier it becomes dealing with that person?
I would say sometimes that's true. Rarely that may not be true just because of the vibration. I'm sure that you've met different people in your life that you've had just an immediate connection with, and it seems very easy to communicate or talk with them. And other times you may meet people in your life that it's not as comfortable or easy to communicate, talk with, or be around them. And sometimes it seems like the more you're around them, you're still not gaining that connection anymore. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of falls into one of the things that I saw on your website, and that is soulmates. Do you believe in soulmates?
I do believe in soulmates, but not maybe the way it's often portrayed or how people might understand it to be. Some people believe that, you know, there's that one ultimate soulmate out there, and, you know, if you don't find it, you'll never be happy kind of thing. My belief is that we have many soulmates, you know. Your boss might be your soulmate. Your child might be your soulmate. Soulmate, to me, only means that it's a person, another soul, that you've had many connections with through many past lives. And oftentimes, soulmate means that that person and you have some karmic lessons to work out. And so being in a soulmate relationship, let's say of a more intimate nature, doesn't mean that it's all happy and joy and unconditional love forever. Oftentimes, when you're in a soulmate relationship, there's karmic issues that need to be balanced out in this lifetime with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I think. I think some people think soulmate, and they think it's going to be somebody of the opposite sex about their age that, once again, they're going to fall in love with, and everything's going to be beautiful. But like you said, it's not always like that. It could be somebody that's related to you. It could be somebody even perhaps you don't even know. Was that true? Maybe in a different country?
Oh, absolutely. That's when you meet somebody for the first time and you feel like you've known them before. That's because you've had a past life with them before, if not more than one. And, you know, that instant connection is a remembrance of their soul energy. And sometimes it's a good, easy energy, and sometimes it might be a more challenging energy, again, because of what may have happened in that past life with them.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my guest today is Colleen Lemma, and she is a spiritual consultant. Now, in talking about past lives, again, soulmates, isn't it true that a lot of people reincarnate about the same time in proximity to each other so that they can learn the lessons they need to learn?
I believe that to be true, yes. We definitely have several lifetimes. It was something in Catholicism growing up as a child that, you know, we were taught to not believe in previous lifetimes. So it was only as I moved to Lansing and started my true spiritual path that I came more into an understanding of that, and it made so much sense. It was just something that really resonated with me. So, you know, that had quickly become a part of my belief system. And it is true that people that are in close proximity to us, as you put it, those people that are our family members, our children, our intimate others in relationships that we may get into, those people are usually those that we've been in previous lifetimes before. And as I said, oftentimes there may be issues to work out from those previous lifetimes. Other times, you know, it might be just someone who was more like a best friend or a brother or sister that was a really easy relationship that we've contracted with, as I call it. You know, before you're incarnated down here, you're a soul and you contract with another soul to come down and at a specific time, you know, meet with them and form a relationship with them. And sometimes it's just a beautiful, wonderful, loving, and supportive relationship that we encounter with this soul from a previous lifetime.
Mm-hmm. But conversely, it can be a challenge just depending on what a person has to learn with that person during this lifetime.
Yeah, oftentimes, yes. I mean, think of situations, and a lot of people can relate to this, being in a particular family, sometimes there's one or both parents that there's conflict with, not always, but oftentimes we're born into a family where there's conflict in some way, shape, or form with a parent or maybe even a brother or a sister in particular. And oftentimes when you think about relationships that we get into, serious committed relationships or marriages, there's oftentimes karmic issues or conflict, if you will, that needs to be balanced out or worked out, and it's up to those two souls involved in any particular relationship, you know, utilizing their free will to make choices as to how or if those conflicts, you know, will have a resolution or not.
Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that you have done self-regression on your own personal past as far as why a person is in your life and how best to deal with that person?
Yes, absolutely. I have sometimes just spontaneous memories or remembrances. You can do self-hypnosis, and I have utilized that to get in touch with a previous connection that I may have with someone. You know, in the beginning times of learning certain things in the metaphysical field, when I first started studying, you know, and going to different classes, some of those different classes would utilize like a group regression or a group meditation, which oftentimes for me would lead to a past life too. So I've had many opportunities in the years that I've been studying all the different modalities to have these past life occurrences or memories, so to speak. And oftentimes you have them through dreams too. You have to listen to your dreams.
Right. I think dreams are very important. I think everybody's psychic to a certain degree, and that even dreams, even if a person feels they're not psychic, if they pay attention to their dreams, it can at least tell them what's going on in their lives or perhaps what's going to happen in their life. Do you feel that's true?
Absolutely. A lot of people have dreams that are prophetic. And, you know, a couple days before something happens, or maybe even a year before something happens, they may have a dream that's very profound, and they never forget that dream, and it comes to be something that is prophetic, like someone who might have a dream about something that may happen to one of their grandparents. And although it might not be a happy dream, it may actually be something that comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have a dream about a grandparent after they have passed. And what I'll say to them is that that grandparent is coming to you in your dream time, and it's not a dream. It's a form of reality. You know, you are in just another dimension when you're in your sleep time. But that dimension, that dream time, is just as real, if not more so, than the waking time that we experience. And so that grandparent or loved one that has passed that may come to you in a dream is really coming to you in reality to maybe give you a message or just provide you with comfort or knowingness that they're still around you. You know, that's one form of what a dream can bring to us. Other times, your guides, your guardian angels, if you will, or guides are just trying to give you messages or information or guidance through your dream time. So when you wake up from a dream that seems unusual, different, or profound, you should actually record that in some way to be able to remember or look back on, because it might be some very vital or important information that you need.
Mm-hmm. So that even though it might be a negative dream, it might be important to prepare you for something that might happen in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Oftentimes for me, and everybody's dreams are going to have different symbology, but for instance, for me, if I'm going to go through an upcoming emotional time of some type, my dreams are usually of water, because water is the element of our feelings and emotions. And so when I have a dream about like a tsunami or a flood, something like that, oftentimes I can ascertain that this means that I'm going to have an overly emotional time in some way, shape, or form.
Right, and not necessarily a good one.
Right, not necessarily a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to? Maybe you have a web address or a telephone number you'd like to give out?
Yes, my telephone number is 517-420-4647. Again, that's 517-420-4647. And my website address is www.sacredsoulhealing.com. That's sacredsoulhealing, all one word, .com.
Mm-hmm. And what are the different services that you offer?
I'm a certified hypnotherapist dealing with everything from anxiety and depression issues to past life regression and karma. I do Reiki energy healing with crystals and essential oils, and I am a certified astrologer and numerologist, and I also utilize the tarot when I do a reading.
Mm-hmm. So you pretty much have it all covered, is that correct?
I have a lot of different modalities that I've been blessed to be able to share with people.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel any one is more effective than the others?
Not necessarily. It just depends on the person and what it is that they're coming in for.
Mm-hmm. So again, it's an individual thing depending on what a client needs?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been doing this? I mean, just, I guess it's not really your full-time job, but I
well,
think
I
that
you're...
Well,
I call it my full-time job,
okay.
Mike.
Well, your most important job, right?
Yeah, well, I do call it my full-time and most important job, and I do work part-time elsewhere, but I started studying the metaphysical specifically in 1994 when I moved to Lansing. So one by one, I you know, studied these different things that I do. So I guess that's been for about, 12 to 14 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. You've been very interesting. You've covered a lot of different topics. I really appreciate the fact you were able to do the show today. Thank you very much, Colleen.
Oh, thank you definitely, Mike, for the opportunity. I really enjoyed talking with you all.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I want to thank Colleen once again for being on the show today. She did an excellent job. And I just want to remind everybody that next month on the 18th of October, we will be back with another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I want to thank everybody for listening. And once again, I hope everybody has a great day.